Our guest today is a spirit that lives in the Delaney Creek Valley. Although the history of this part of Washington County can be found in records found in our courthouse, the Stevens Museum, and in personal family records, the history of our guest, whose name Delaney Creek bears, is known to none. Page 509 of the Centennial Edition of the Stevens History of Washington County, Indiana says the following. Delaney Creek took its name from an old Indian named Delaney, who remained in the valley several years after the others of his tribe had gone. He had a wigwam on the banks of the creek about a mile from where it empties into the Muscatatuck, and subsisted by hunting and fishing. He was finally persuaded to go west, but the old fellow very reluctantly turned his back upon the scenes he had so long enjoyed, the streams and woodlands that had afforded him so much pleasure in his latter days. This is all that is written of this man whose name lives in our time. In order to receive the spirit of our guest, we must now imagine that we have gone back to the year 1821, when Washington County and Salem were just in their seventh year. If you have now taken your imagination to 1821, I introduce you to Delaney.
It gives me great honor to have you come to my home in the Delaney Creek Valley on the waters of the Muscatatuck. History does not record my true name, and today it shall remain my secret. Your people call me Delaney. Your people had thick tongues and could not speak the names of my tongue, which is a dialect of the Algonquin language. My people are called Lenne Lenape. We called your people Wasini and other names as well. Your people called my people the Delaware. Why was this so? When your Wasini first came across the great waters, the Lenne Lenape lived along the tidewaters. First came one of your people called Hollanders. Next came Swedes. Then came Englanders in great numbers. They named the great river along which my people lived after their man of great wealth, Lord Delaware. Then the Englanders named us Delaware after this man with fancy pants that never even came to our land. I am not Delaware. I am Lenne Lenape. When I was a younger man living on the waters of the Muskingum, my people were to go to Piqua and say our name to be marked down in the book of an Indian agent. When it was my time at this book, he asked if I were a Delaware. I said that I was a Lenne Lenape. The Indian agent said, "We have a proud one here. You shall be called both names. Your name is now Delaney." So it was written. The white men who came to this place could not say my name either. It was Delaney to them too. I was the last red man to live here. In your year of 1821, I had to go north with the rest of my people, who then made the long walk west to the waters of the Kansas and Buffalo country. How did this come to be? I was born 70 years ago in the land of the Sassafras, on the waters of the Susquehanna in your state of Pennsylvania. The war between the French and the British forced us to go west to the land of the ancient Tallahassee on the Muskingum in what you call Ohio. The British wanted us to stay on the Susquehanna. What they really wanted was to have us between them and the friends of the French, the Iroquois, our longtime enemy. When I lived in Ohio, the British were fighting among themselves, something the Virginians and Pennsylvanians called the War of Independence. This time, the Iroquois and our brothers the Shawanoes fought with the British in Canada against the British that now called themselves Americans. Some of our younger men joined the Shawanoes. Our chiefs made a treaty with these Americans. They wanted us to stand in Ohio and fight the Canadians. We wanted peace and asked our brothers the Miami if we could move on to the lands between the waters of the Ubacha and the Ohio. This is when I came to this land and settled with my clan where the Wapahani, or White River, and the Driftwood waters meet near the town where many of the Americans still talk in the French tongue. Soon we learned that the Miamis no longer lived here. They wanted us to stand between them and your people called the Kentuckians. This is when I had 30 years. My squaw died of a white man's disease called smallpox. When I had 40 years, my sons left with other Lenne Lenape young men who were lured west by a Wabash trader who was gathering warriors to live on the Mississippi at a place called Cape Girardeau. Some came back. Some white men called Spanish wanted them to fight the Osage red men. I decided that I was not a tool for either your people or other red men. While most of my people went north to the Wapahani, I came to the Musketetuck, away from the disease, whiskey, and temptation of my people's despair. Musketetuck is my people's name for the clear waters. Your people first came here on long hunts and then to trade. Then some strange men came with their eyes mounted on sticks. They were called surveyors. They explained that my people had sold this land to the Americans and that they were cutting up the land so that farmers could keep each a piece for themselves. My people had been farmers, but I do not understand how you can own the land any more than you can own the water or the air. Soon many of your people settled near the Salt Lick, near some of my people called the Unalaktago. The Nene Lenape are divided into three clans, the Munsi, or Wolf, the Uname, or Turtle, and the Unalaktago, or Turkey. These are ancient names representing the division of all animals, those that live on the land, under the water, and in the air. Royce, and then Lamb, had a trading post at the Salt Lick before your people took up the land cut into pieces. They made salt there in big black kettles. They had thick tongues too. They called my brothers there the Ox Indians, and called their chief Old Ox. They could not say Unalaktago. Others of your kind settled along the waters of Blue River. A band of my people lived to the west, and your people called one of the creeks Highland, and called my old friend there Highland. Across the Musketetuck, some French traders from Vincennes followed me to this area and built a village and a fort called Valonia. A man named McCulloch married one of the Unalaktago and settled near there. For some time, there was room for all of us. No one settled in the Delaney Valley or along the Musketetuck, as it is swampy and underwater all winter and spring. Your people freely hunted, trapped, and gathered, as did I. An ambitious Virginian named Harrison changed this. He was your territorial governor and lived in Vincennes in a big house made of a strange rock called brick. He dreamed of drawing 60,000 of your people into the Indiana Territory so that he could form something called a state. He expected great personal reward if he could do this. Harrison had a plan where he could buy land from the Nene Lenape, the Wea, and the Piankashaw, the Miami, and the Potawatomi at cheap prices. He could then have his chief sell the land at low prices to your people to lure them to this place. Harrison did not parley with the Shawanoes, and that was a big mistake. Two Shawano brothers proved to be an equal to this Harrison. One brother was named Tenskwatea, the open door. The other was named Tecumseh, the panther in the sky. Tenskwatea was called the prophet and was both brilliant and crazy. He started teaching that all Indians must turn away from the ways of your people, including your church, guns, iron tools, clothing, names, and whiskey. He also taught that no Indian should sell any land to your people. The prophet's power increased, and he traveled throughout the villages of our people looking for witches. He burned four chiefs at the stake at Andersonstown for being followers of your Moravian missionaries. He came to Highlands Village and burned a woman at the stake. I was right about not living with my people. Harrison made a talk to my people and told us to challenge the prophet to a show of his magical powers. Harrison said, if he is really a prophet, ask him to cause the sun to stand still, the moon to alter its course, or the rivers to cease to flow. Tenskwatea heard of this challenge and invited all of us to a council at Greenville on June 16, 1806, when he would make the sun disappear before noon. Harrison and his rangers met with Tenskwatea and his followers at Greenville near the fallen timbers on that date. The prophet came out of his wickiup in a flowing white robe and before noon pointed at the sun. It darkened. It disappeared. All those who saw this were astonished. The prophet then pointed at the sun again, and it reappeared. Harrison greatly underestimated the learning of the Shawano brothers. You see, Tenskwatea could read English and had a book called an almanac which told him of the time of the next eclipse of the sun. I still don't know what that means, but Tenskwatea did, and turned Harrison's trick against him. Many of my red brothers gathered at Prophetstown on the Tippecanoe and raided your people for years. No land was cut up by your surveyors, even though Harrison had bought the land. The other brother, Tecumseh, was a great warrior and orator. He traveled from the lands of the Seminole in the south to the lands of the Chippewa in the north, trying to form one large Indian nation to drive out your people from this place. He was trying to reclaim the vision of Pontiac. He refused to parley with Harrison about the sale of land and demanded that Harrison return the land that he had stolen. During the year that the earth shook, Harrison took 1,000 rangers to the Tippecanoe to scare Tecumseh into a parley. Tecumseh was away, and the prophet tried his magic for battle. Many warriors on both sides died, and Tenskwatawa's powers were shown to be false. Soon Tecumseh and Tenskwatawa joined the Canadians in a new war, under the promise of getting back their farms and hunting grounds when the Americans were banished. In the year this new war began, Tecumseh's followers came through here from time to time to raid. Two brothers named Soliday were killed on Walnut Ridge. Harrison ordered log forts to be built. I was warned by your people to hide and then leave. I did not. Later that year, a raid was made by some of these warriors at Pigeon Roost at the base of the Knobs on the old trail to Tully's Town. Many of your people were killed. The Lenni Lenape 2 days north from here were blamed, but they were not the followers of the Shawano brothers. Your warriors, called the Corridan Yellow Jackets, came in chase and warned me to leave again. I did not. Old Ox and his village were warned too about revenge, and they fled to the Indian Agency at Piqua and then made the long walk to Missouri. The next year, Tecumseh was killed in battle in Canada, and his dream of an Indian nation died with him. The next year, a town called Salem was laid out here by a man named DePaul. This was near Highlands Winter Camp. Many more of your people who were not hunters and trappers came here. These people seemed to be slaves to the property that they claimed to own, and DePaul told Highland that Salem was a word that meant peace. Highland thought not, and his village made the long walk to Missouri. Then in the year that had no summer, Harrison had his new state. 2 years later, the chiefs of my people met with your people near Fort Wayne and sold the rest of our lands. We were given payments called annuities. I did not go to the village of the Munsee to get my share, for these chiefs 3 days north from here did not speak for me. But the rangers told me that these chiefs did speak for me, and that I was not allowed to live on land now owned by your chiefs anymore in General Harrison's state. They said that your people would come like a great flood and that I would soon drown. I then studied the teachings of my people to decide if I was to leave this place. The history of the Lenni Lenape are recorded on prayer sticks called the Wallamolum. The Wallamolum tell us that we began at a place called Turtle Island, and that we came east and south through lands of ice and snow. We came to a place called Snow Mountain, where we split into many peoples and went in all directions. The Lenni Lenape continued east through the Buffalo Country, and then further east to the waters of the Wapahani. We then continued east to the lands of the Talajiwa, who built huge mounds of earth. They fled south down the Mississippi in fear of our power. Then we moved east to the country of Sassafras, and then through the tidewaters until we met your Wapsini. Each new year, when the trees turn green, the Lenni Lenape have a ceremony. We gather from our winter hunting grounds to our villages to grow maize and beans. This ceremony is called the Big House and lasts for 12 days. I remember it from my days as a young man. A big lodge is built. A doorway is opened in the east with a fire in it. This is the sunrise where life begins. A doorway is opened in the west with a fire in it. This is the sunset where life ends. The flat floor of the lodge is the earth upon which we live, and a white path winds its way from the east door to the west door. The arched roof of the lodge is the sky that we see. Above the roof are the 12 steps of forever that we never see while we live. After Lene Lenape walks out the west door, he is guided by the Manitous through the 12 steps of forever before the Great Spirit receives him. For 12 days, our warriors dance very slowly along this white path. They begin at the east door, as it is where they were born, and end the dance at the west door, as if they have died. As you have heard, my people were forced to retrace our ancient trek as told in the Wallam Ulam. In my life, I journeyed from the land of the Sassafras to the lands of the ancient Telawajiwa, to the waters of the Wapahani. Now I am to be sent to the buffalo country. My eyes now see as if looking through the mists of the Musketatuck, and my legs walk as if wading through its swamps. It must be that I am dancing on the white path in my 12th day near the west door of the big house. And so it was. As you must know, I did walk west. Through me, the Lenni Lenape left this place to you. But that which lives cannot be without that which has died. I hope that this land that provided for me also provides for you. I hope that through your awareness you can connect to the past and then teach it to the others so that new life after you will continue in the true direction. I now take my farewell, as I must continue my long journey through the 12 steps of forever.